Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday today. Lots of articles that we got for you. Should be a great show. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'll be on the Hagman Show tonight, so you guys stay tuned. I'm not sure how many hours. I think I'm going to be on for all 3 hours, but I'm not sure yet. So you guys stay tuned for the show tonight. We're going to be covering a lot of really interesting news, as we cover on our show. That's a lot of health information, because I have such a long format on that show, I can actually go a lot more into depth. But I want to share a couple things with you very quickly. Remember that movie, Austin? It was called Legends of the Fall with Brad Pitt and Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a great movie, if you guys have missed it. It's a little bit gory in spots, and it's got some bad language in it, and it's a couple of nude scenes, so don't let your kids watch it. It's an R-rated movie. But it's one of the most cinematography in that movie is unbelievable. It's the most beautiful, beautiful place out in Montana. But they have a thing where the World War I happens and they go into prohibition in the United States, and the farm basically starts losing a lot of money, the ranch they live on, and they start importing alcohol from Canada to run into the United States, into Missoula and other parts of the country, and they start making a whole lot of money. And right at the middle of the movie, when all this is going on, the other bootleggers in town, the mafia, the mob, so to speak, has a meeting with, at that point, his name was Tristan at that point in the movie, has a meeting with Tristan, that was Brad Pitt, and says that, you know, you guys are starting to interfere too much with our alcohol smuggling. You know, we didn't care when you were a little bit, but, you know, your brother was Alfred Ludlow, who was like a senator or a congressman, and they said the only reason we've allowed you to go this far is because of his position. But you need to back off on the amount of booze that you're bringing in from Canada. Otherwise, we are going to come in and we're going to basically take you out and kill you guys. Now, you're all thinking right now, you're thinking, why in the world is Ted talking about a movie from 20 years ago? That's what I'd be asking right now. Here's why. Korea is one of the largest opium producers in the world. Korea. And you have to ask yourself, why do we care about Korea? I'm telling you why we care about Korea. It's not because they have nuclear weapons. It's not because they're using the missile technology that basically Clinton gave the Chinese. It's none of this. North Korea is a major opium producer, making it a prime target for the CIA. The same thing they were told in that movie. We didn't mind you being a little producer of alcohol or a little importer of alcohol. But you become a major producer of alcohol, and now we want to take you guys out. And it ended up basically, a bunch of people got killed. And well, this is exactly what the CIA does. The CIA does it. This is what happened in Laos. This is what happened in Vietnam. This is what happened with the Vietnam War. They don't want to be competing with other countries in the world for heroin production to bring into the mafia for distribution for their black operations. This is some crazy stuff. When the U.S. overthrew the Taliban in the wake of 9/11 as part of its newly launched war on terror, it set the stage for the explosive growth of the Afghanistan's dying opium industry because they wanted to be able to bring it back into the United States. But despite being quashed by the Taliban, the opium market made a dramatic comeback immediately following the invasion of 2001. That's because we facilitated it. Not only was the opium trade restored, it surged drastically, rising from production of 185 tons under the Taliban to over 3,400 tons in 2002, and it's much, much higher now. Over a decade later, the amount of opium harvest annually continues to rise. Afghan's opium is now used to produce 90% of the world's heroin. I've told you guys this many times. The increase has been seen directly overseen by U.S. forces who openly guard Afghanistan's poppy fields. Indeed, during the same time, the U.S. government claims to have spent $8.4 billion on counter-narcotic programs within Afghanistan. No, they built up the infrastructure to help produce the heroin. That's what it is. The dramatic increase in opium production is post-invasion Afghanistan has sparked speculation regarding the motives behind the aggressive action that the U.S. has recently taken towards North Korea, which is also a major opium producer. While government-sanctioned opium production took a hit after Kim Jong-un assumed power in 2011, things have changed drastically in the last several years, largely due to Chinese sanctions that were announced in mid-February. The sanctions created a response to a North Korean ballistic missile test, and they refused to allow imports of North Korean coal. Coal represents 40% of North Korea's exports to China. The drastic hit to the North Korean economy was apparently forced Kim Jong-un's hand as opium production has once again massively increased. While North Korea's opium production is small compared to Afghanistan, it's still sending out 40 tons of opium annually. Guys, that's a lot of opioid. And these are the numbers that we have. It could be much, much higher. Some have speculated North Korea's return to opium production has caught the attention of the CIA, as well as the intelligence, as the intelligence agency has a history of involving itself, which we know, drug running. In addition, opium addiction in the form of both legal opiate painkillers and legal drugs is growing out of control in the U.S., with more opium being consumed within America than ever before. And the onset of the epidemic coincided with the U.S. occupation of Afghanistan, as between 2002 and 2013, the heroin usage jumped dramatically in the United States, reaching a high. Heroin overdoses have quadrupled. So I wanted to bring this out to you guys again. Plus, remember, they have a huge amount of natural resources in Korea, including large deposits of gold, G-O-L-D, gold. So now we have a major heroin producer that's loaded with gold that's basically needing to be taught who they are on the international scene as far as interfering with our CIA, Mossad, international banking cartel tie together. Guys, you got to keep this stuff in perspective all the time. You got to take a look underneath the picture of what's going on and realize you got to read the subcaptions and what in the world this picture really means. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, no, you're definitely pretty accurate about that. This whole thing with the drug control is what feeds the whole black operations. And now just got released to Congress now a new bill that's entitled Stop the Importation and Trafficking of Synthetic Analogs Act of 2016 has been introduced to both the Senate and the House. Not surprisingly, a huge sponsor of the bill is Senator Dianne Feinstein, who's been long known for her hatred of human rights. What we have seen now continually is that the government likes to come in and be able to control the manufacturing of these drugs, control the distribution, control all this stuff, as we just saw in heroin, and then turn around and, like they did this year, recently label CBD oil as a Scheduled One drug. They do this all the time so they can maintain a monopoly on the drug industry, so they can contain it within the pharmaceuticals. I've told you guys so many times. They say, you can use these drugs. If you want legal amphetamines, that's fine. You can get, you know, Adderall. If you want to get legal, you know, other products, we can give them to pharmaceutical. But if you use them and they're not from us, we're basically going to throw you in jail and fine you. But what they don't talk about is the black operation underneath it, from funneling in all this money and bringing in all this cash flow. This bill that they're trying to do now is essentially unilaterally outlaw, it allow the Attorney General to outlaw any unregulated chemical compound on a temporary basis for up to 5 years. Now, what they're trying to use this for is under the guise of the stuff like the fentanyl patches and the fake opiates that are on the market. And they say they're doing this to try and fight the opioid crisis in the United States. This has nothing to do with it whatsoever. What they want to be able to do here is have the Attorney General come in, outlaw, completely ban Schedule One, any unregulated chemical compounds for up to 5 years, as long as they want to do it. It's essentially another expansion of the Controlled Substance Act, and including on this, it sets penalties, including mandatory minimum sentences for distribution of these substances. This is what they've continued to do, is keep and control a monopoly on the drug manufacturing and on the distribution. They win on both ends. It keeps the prison industrial complex fed and alive and well. It keeps the pharmaceutical industry alive and well, and it keeps the United States population hooked on drugs and continuing to spend large amounts of money and cash that then they can use again in other types of black op operations. You were just talking about that. So yeah, when you look at the biggest evidence you want to look at is Afghanistan and how low the production was of opium in 2001, and then once we invaded them, the opium production skyrocketed and is exploded now 40 times of what it was in 2001. There's no coincidence with that whatsoever. It's very, very clear that's what they're trying to do, and that's what I've been saying about North Korea. I did not know that they were a massive producer of opiates over there. But all this saber rattling that you hear about on the news, and, oh, his ballistic missile, if it hits California, if it hits Colorado, if it hits Alaska, all this stuff they keep putting on there is fear-mongering, guys. It's complete and total nonsense. I promise you, if they end up having some type of rocket that is launched, something hits the United States, it was totally coordinated, pre-planned, and allowed, if not controlled, by elements of the United States government. There's no way that they're going to allow this guy to launch this stuff over there, because in my opinion, I don't think he's going to. All this right now is fear mongering and another excuse to invade another country that is not controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel, just like we've done in the Middle East, just like we're trying to do with Iran, just like we're trying to do with Russia. All this stuff, guys, ties in together, so you have to be very aware of what's going on and don't get wrapped up in a lot of the mainstream obfuscation that's so prevalent right now.
Austin, back in the 80s, you don't remember this because you were too young, President Ronald Reagan decided to build a weapons-based space platform called Star Wars, and he actually built a platform that was able to take out any intercontinental ballistic missiles at the time of their launch, and he built it. It was finished. Fred Bell, one of the scientists who worked on it, we talked about him in depth on the show before, he was murdered after he divulged that information on Jesse Ventura's show, Conspiracy Theory, several years ago. In fact, he was dead before the show was even aired. And I've talked to his family, and they're convinced that he was murdered. So here's the thing, guys. We have a space-based weapons platform system that's incredibly advanced. And, of course, we've updated it, and I'm sure, in the past 40 years with all of these little rocket launches that we're having in the outer space to work on our space stations and everything else. So we have an extremely advanced space-based weapons system that faces both outwards and inwards. I'll talk about that on another show. So what's interesting about that is, If Korea launched a weapon, it wouldn't have to get off the platform. They don't have to allow it to launch anything. And certainly if it was heading towards the United States, and I can guarantee if there was any real, true, tangible threat right now from North Korea, this one of these space-based weapons systems would be aimed at North Korea, and they could literally blow up a rocket on the pad, which, by the way, multiple rockets have blown up on their pad anytime they want. And so this whole thing is what I've talked about on the show before, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to fearmonger. We're not going to have a nuclear war. Now, we may have a staged nuclear conflict that's a false flag that has nothing to do with a real war, in which they'll tell you that some city got zapped that wasn't even a nuclear bomb, and they'll just destroy a small city somewhere or whatever they're going to do. These guys are capable of doing that. They're extremely wicked. Let me give you an example of this. Winston Churchill, he's now gone down as this big hero of the British during World War II. Now, let me give you some information on Winston Churchill, because I sent an article out on Winston Churchill the other day to my personal list, and one of the guys got mad and basically emailed me back and said, I don't believe any of this stuff about Winston Churchill. Let me tell you a few things about Winston Churchill. Number one, he was a druid. I'm going to repeat that. Number one, he worshipped Lucifer. He was a druid. He was a Satanist. Okay? This is what he was. He was basically working on the dark side of everything he was doing for subversive motives. When he allowed the city of Dresden to be bombed in the middle of the night with basically fire bombs and burned that city up, upwards of 500,000 people died, because that morning they sent the planes in. They were all huddled by the river. It was in February of 45. They had all the women and children. It was a refuge city. It had some of the finest Baroque architecture in all of Europe. And he decided he didn't want the Germans to have that. His goal was to exterminate the German race. And me, personally, because he was a druid, I believe it was for a mass ritual sacrifice for what happened in Dresden. So this is who this guy was. In fact, there was an article that was written by a guy named Jonas Alexis. It's called Mass Murdering Clown Winston Churchill and Independence Day. And he goes into what he did and how he was all about killing people. And then asked later after World War II about what happened with Dresden, he seemed to have lost his memory about all that and didn't really understand what was going on, what he meant by Dresden. This guy was a psychopath murderer. There was no reason to bomb a bunch of children and women in the middle of the night with fire bombs and concussion bombs, which knocked the roofs off the houses, coming back in with incendiary bombs on the second wave of bombers. This is who these people are. So if you don't think that they would take a city the size of New York, or a city the size of Los Angeles, or a city of the size of Denver, any of these places like this, and completely and totally annihilate an entire city to set up a false flag, look at 9/11. Thousands of people died. There should have been 50,000 dead, but too many people knew something was going to happen. They were told not to report to work that day at 9/11. These guys are that sick. They will do anything they want to do, whenever they want to do it, to please their master, Lucifer. If they need a mass ritual sacrifice, they will do it. And again, remember, guys, almost the entire world now is being run by these pedophile elites from the Catholic Church on down. These guys crave the energy of children. And what these demons do, and these, I'm going to talk about some weird stuff now. You may want to, if your kids are listening right now, you may want to just kind of cover their ears. What they do when they sodomize these children, it transfers energy from these children through the person who's doing the abominable act of that into these interdimensional entities that we call these demons or fallen angels or whatever you want to call these things. And it feeds them. It gives them energy sustenance. This is why they're all absolutely just crazy about this pedophilia. This is what's going on. This is what goes on with these soul cooking parties and these mass sacrifices. And whenever they can have a giant mass human sacrifice like with Dresden or 9/11, it turns into this giant feeding frenzy for these weird things in these other dimensions. I know you think that sounds nuts, and guys, it sounds nuts to me too. There was a really good book, you need to read it, called The Most Dangerous in the Book in the World, 9/11 is a Mass Ritual Sacrifice. And I've talked about this in depth on Hagman's show and on Hodge's show. I don't talk about it very often because it's not kind of dark. It's really dark. I don't even talk about any of this stuff. But you've got to understand as a Christian who you are, and when you call on the name of Yeshua, the power that you're releasing. And when you're in covenant with Yahweh through Yeshua, through the blood of the Lamb, it's amazing what you can do with your life and with your relationships and the authority that we have. So that's what they're trying to cover up. They don't want us to know this. They don't want us to understand who and what we are. They've got to go in and get this energy and this power from these children that are completely and totally victimized. We don't have to have that kind of weird stuff in our lives or anywhere around us because we can assume the power of the throne of God Almighty through the blood of the Lamb. So we have the authority because He gives us a tiny bit of omnipotence, omnipresence, you know, omniscience when we become in covenant with Him, because that's what covenant is. He shares with you part of what He is. He simply can't give you all of what He's able to do simply because we simply couldn't handle it as human beings. But He's there to protect you and to keep you. That's what you have to understand. So these psychopaths that are running this planet who are willing to go in and bomb Dresden or take out the towers or intentionally allow Japan to bomb Pearl Harbor back in 1941, December 7th. This was done on purpose. This was done on purpose to bring us into the war. This was something that Roosevelt, who, by the way, Roosevelt was a Mason. I talked about this yesterday. High-level Masonic lodge, which means he was a Satanist. These 33-degree boys, they know exactly what's going on. The little ones don't know what's going on when they first do it for their little fork and knife get-togethers. They have no idea what they're involved in. These high-level ones know exactly what they're getting involved in. Roosevelt was also a Luciferian. He was a Satanist. You guys don't want to believe that, but that's exactly what he was. And so when they allow the United States to get attacked with 9/11, George W. knew exactly, and the intel told him exactly, that there was a high target happening with the trade towers that had already been attacked 10 years earlier. And in fact, I personally believe there were rogue elements of our government involved in doing this. Certainly not everybody in Congress is involved with it. I don't believe that at all. There were rogue elements using the Mossad and the CIA who were involved in orchestrating all of 9/11. So this is what we have to understand. The book Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr, you can get it online for free. It's a PDF. You need to read through that book and understand these groups of people and who they are and what they're doing on an ongoing basis to manipulate your reality. What they want you to believe is not necessarily really what's going on. Everything's about manipulation of the energy fields of the planet because we are an energy wave. Our body vibrates at a certain frequency at the subatomic level, and they understand that. They understand what the 5G is going to do. We talked about that in depth. I believe it was the beginning of this week. I mean, this is what's going on right now, why nobody's paying any attention. They're manipulating energy fields on the planet to feed themselves, which is what these clowns do with these demons that they're attached to. You think, well, can you really? Then he said, now the next question is, Ted, do you really believe that people can be demonically possessed? Yeah, read the New Testament. I'm not making this. We can go back to our source with Yeshua driving the demon-possessed people, the demons out. I mean, yes, I believe this. I believe that these entities, whatever they are capable of coming into human beings and possessing them, which is very clear in the New Testament. Now, for those of you who aren't Christians who don't understand that, guys, there's some people out there that the only way they can act the way they act is because something's not right with them. You got to realize that, and you got to believe that too, because something could be influencing them. And we don't know what you want to call that if you're not a Christian, but we call them demons. The Muslims actually call these things jinn. The Jews have their own name for these things. I mean, all of these world religions understand that there's off-world entities that are controlling a lot of what's going on this planet, Austin. So I didn't mean to get off on all that today, but I just wanted to share that a little bit with you guys. Austin, what's your next story?
Illinois is pretty much trying to do the best they can to figure out what to do. I'm getting a ton of feedback on your side again, Dad.
I'm putting my headset on now.
But last week, they basically overrode the vote to have a massive tax hike. They wanted to bring in another $5 billion income tax increase for the residents of the state. Rauners begged the General Assembly to sustain his vetoes of the $36 billion spending plan financed with a $5 billion income tax increase, arguing the 32% income tax increase amounted to a 2x4 smacking across the foreheads of the people in Illinois. Illinois has now been downgraded to junk status. Tax increases in the past have not worked, which they never do, guys. That's what you have to understand. When this is exactly what England did. This is exactly what the North did to the South. This has been done repeatedly in history when you have essentially an out-of-control government element that is literally spending money hand over fist, and they don't have any way of bringing in more money. Remember, you guys have to understand this. It's a concept most people don't get. The federal government doesn't produce anything. It doesn't really build anything by itself. In by itself, it cannot do anything. We, the people, are the supporters of the government. Without our time, without our workforce, without our money, without our energy, the government ceases to exist. And that's what a lot of these total socialist Democrats don't realize in these states like Illinois. They even said here from 2011 to 2014, they had a $31 billion increase in tax revenue, but basically the Illinois pension debt had a $25 billion increase in the unfunded pension liability. Illinois is already the most taxed state in the nation, with the state and local governments effectively taxing median households at 14.7% through a combination of income and sales tax, plus the second worst property taxes in the nation. And in 2011 to 2014, while the income tax increased by 31.6% billion dollars over those 4 years, Illinois' $7.9 billion in unpaid debts dropped down by only $1.3 billion. In other words, it took $31.6 billion of new tax revenue to reduce the backlog of Illinois state bills by $1.3 billion. This is what happens when you allow these guys up there to completely run amok and spend money hand over fist. And this is happening in states all across the country. California is completely insolvent now. They're the exact same boat. They're like the second highest tax state in the country, and they're completely and totally broke. This is what happens when you allow these states to completely run amok with their liberal ideology. This is why socialism doesn't work. There's a whole idea from all these kids in college right now that they think everybody should have universal income. Everybody should just get paid money from the government. The problem is, it never works out long term. Who's spending money as far as in bringing it back into the government? Who's producing product? Who's producing goods? Who's giving services? There has to be some type of circular door that functions like this in any type of business with capitalism, or it doesn't work. This is what nobody understands. Illinois now is completely in the hole, and more than likely now they're talking about Congress is going to have to go in and do some type of override to allow them to file bankruptcy. And at that point, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, because this has never really happened before. But I think the globalists have really, really, really pushed for this to happen, and they're probably pretty excited to see what they can do.
Austin, you're breaking. Can you hear me off real bad?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I'm not sure if Austin is still... Okay, I lost you for a second. But you're absolutely right, Austin. Illinois is a major, major problem. And whenever you start raising taxes in a state or in a city like this, like we saw what happened with Detroit, people simply move out. When the property taxes get so high that no one can afford to live there anymore, they just leave the state or leave the city. And then pretty soon there's no tax base left in order to draw revenue from, and the people that are there are taxed even higher. And eventually everybody moves out. This is exactly what happened to Detroit. This is exactly what's happening to multiple places all over the country. And now it's happening to what's already happened to California. Now it's happening to Illinois. See, guys, Austin's absolutely right. You can't continue to tax until there's you can't draw the blood out of somebody without killing the patient, right? You can't do that. And we talked about that yesterday with the article that I had read about what Thomas Jefferson has said, that it's, you know, they have to work 16 hours a day in England at that point when he wrote this letter, and that 15 of the 16 hours was being devoted back to taxes to the federal, to the government of England. This is what always happens when you start making these giant welfare systems completely, you know, self-sustaining. They continue to vote themselves tax increases, and they continue to bankrupt themselves because they don't care. They don't care because it's not their money anyhow. This is the problem with legacy costs. When you have a small town, and you see this all over the United States with small towns, they want to bring top people in to run the mid and upper level management of the town, you know, city controllers, that kind of things, the mayors or whatever. And what they'll start doing, they'll start bringing people in for $100,000 a year, $50,000 a year, and they can't afford it. They raise taxes. But what the worst thing is they do is this. They say, we're going to give you a pension. After you work here for 20 years, we're going to give you 50 or 60 or 70% of your income for the rest of your life. Well, guys, as a business person, you understand that's a non-sustainable model, especially if you are in business long-term-wise, because sooner or later, those are called legacy costs. They actually start stripping the other costs of the current revenue being produced. In other words, if you're bringing in $1 million a month as a city with revenue, now you're paying out $1.2 million a month in 30 or 40 years to employees that have quit who no longer work there, then all of a sudden you have additional employees who want to come in. That model does not work. That's why people should not be allowed when they're using these types of civil servant jobs with cities or counties or even with the Senate or the House to be given these huge pensions when they retire. They should be allowed, I think, deferred Social Security. I think nobody should pay Social Security. They should be allowed to take the money from Social Security they would have paid and put it into investment accounts or whatever they want to do so they'll have something for their retirement. They can't be allowed to be given these huge, huge legacy costs. If you're in one of those people that are getting these big legacy things right now from a job that you had for 20 or 30 years, okay, I got it. Same thing with the military. You have all these guys in the military, especially, you know, in the services today who are earning huge amounts of money, and they get like 50% of their income again for the rest of their life after 20 years. Sooner or later, that thing won't work anymore. Now, here's a really good article. I saw it the other day, and it says, Why Are Americans So Sick? By some guy named Parpia. And it says, in the early 1900s, infectious diseases were the leading cause of death in the U.S., tuberculosis, pneumonia, and diarrhea disease caused about 30% of the deaths. However, by the end of the 20th century, death from chronic diseases such as heart disease, cancer, and stroke have replaced deaths from infectious diseases. That's because these are deficiencies, diseases, and lifestyle diseases. The U.S. has been experiencing an epidemic of autoimmune diseases. The prevalence of various autoimmune diseases that involve brain and immune system dysfunction, such as celiac disease, lupus, MS, and type 1 diabetes, is so common that it's been normalized. Considering that chronic diseases are now the leading cause of death and disability in the United States, it is puzzling that public health officials continue to focus their efforts on preventing infectious diseases through vaccination. I'm going to repeat this. Considering that chronic diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, and cancer are now the leading cause of death and disability in the U.S., it is puzzling that public health officials continue to focus their efforts on preventing infectious diseases through vaccination, but appear to be considerably less concerned about the prevalence of chronic illnesses and autoimmune diseases, guys. And the reason I wanted to say this today, and I'll talk about more on this on Hagman tonight, is this. We have a situation in the United States where we're being subjected to a massive eugenics protocol through immunizations. They're coming up with more and more immunizations every single year, Austin, and it's all about reducing fertility rates and reducing the population of, I should say this, I'm going to say it, of white people in the United States so we stop reproducing. They can bring in their other ethnic groups. They want to bring in primarily the Muslims right now into the United States to offset everything that we've done in this country as far as population density. That's where this is going because they've got to find a compliant culture that's willing to do what they want. And the white Protestant work ethic that created and built the United States back in the 17, 16, 14, well, it would be the 15, 16, 17, 1800s. It's what built the United States. It's what separated Europe and the rest of the world from the rest of the world. That's what it did. And so they're trying to destroy that DNA. they're trying to make us a subservient people. That's one of the reasons they have these giant Fukushima reactors going off that they don't bother to replace or repair or try to cap. They want to reduce the population, and radiation is one of the primary things you can do to massively reduce fertility, guys. It's unbelievable. What do you think, Austin?
Absolutely. And also, too, over in France, this is pretty wild now, with President Emmanuel Macron saying he wants to make the country carbon neutral by 2050. He's now stated that they have complete plans to ban all gas and diesel vehicles by 2040. The announcement comes after Volvo said on Wednesday it planned to build only electric and hybrid vehicles from 2019 and up. France also said it would stop using coal to produce electricity by 2022. This is pretty wild now as far as what's going on, Deb.
Well, no, it isn't. He wants to go in and basically, well, he's basically a Rothschild. You know, they want to control everything, and this is what they're going to do. And it's sad because he was put in by the Rothschilds, and he's going to continue to do this. And the sad part about all of this stuff with France is that by doing this, they're going to completely and totally affect their economy. So their economy is already a wreck in France. They've already brought in, you know, millions of Muslims. And if you go to Paris, you won't even like Paris, guys. Don't even go to Paris. It's awful now. It's like a H-E double sticks hole. It's awful what that place is like. And you got to just stay away from that. I mean, the people there were really mean to start with, but now they're really mean, and there are a bunch of really mean Muslims running around. So you don't want to be there. I mean, they're sleeping on the sidewalks on mattresses and cardboard boxes. You know, I mean, this is a mess. So you want to avoid Paris like it's the plague. Now, the attractions there, they're still pretty clean. They're really well maintained because of the amount of revenue they bring in. But guys, don't be wandering around the city streets of Paris. It's not like it was in those movies back in the 50s, the Day of Tiffany's and all the other stuff they were doing back then. And a lot of those movies were filmed in, you know, idolizing Paris. It's not that awesome. What's your next story?
Yeah, and also, too, what goes on to that is, I've talked about it so many times, is the further and further push for these autonomous vehicles. It's much easier to build these autonomous vehicles as far as an electric basis, because everything's electronically controlled at that point. So you can't go in and manually override anything like you can with an internal combustion engine. Even newer vehicles that have tons of electronics on them, at the base of them, they are still a internal combustion engine. And at some point with enough work, you can still retrofit some of these engines to make them function at least partially. Whereas when you have these electric vehicles, everything is controlled, everything's monitored through a central brain hub, and everything can be hacked, and everything can basically be dominated by whatever system is the main processor. So it's definitely pretty wild with that. Also, too, in other health news, a new study out of Aberdeen University found that eating foods like salmon and walnuts that are high in omega-3s increases your chances of surviving colorectal cancer. They said it's the omega-3 fatty acids found in these foods that stop the spread of deadly tumors throughout the body. After eating these foods, molecules are released that target and attack cancer cells. This is why it's so important, guys, why I always tell you one of the base supplements we always recommend is omega-3 fats. Cod liver oil, fish oil, krill oil. There's a lot of good quality ones that we carry, but you know, that's why in our basic healthy lifestyle we have the Norwegian omega-3 capsules. They said to reach these conclusions, the scientists measured the enzymes created with 650 colorectal cancer patients that ate foods containing omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. The results, when they compared to the people's chances of survival, those who had the highest proportion of omega-3 metabolizing enzymes had the best chance of surviving and their tumor spread the least. It provides even more evidence that omega-3 fats can provide some very useful health benefits. In addition, they found that having a higher proportionate of omega-6 metabolizing enzyme when compared to omega-3 can create worse outcomes for the patient. They did not directly link that to an increase in cancer, but they said no comparison. The omega-3 fats were significantly better at reducing the risk of colorectal cancer. That's why we always tell you guys, omega-3 fats, the cod liver oil, and also, I mean, you can eat stuff like wild salmon, fresh caught fish that's high in omega-3s. It's very good to use. You can also use olive oil when you cook, the coconut oil when you cook. All that is really, really good in your diet. The organic whole eggs, I eat those every day. Keeping high amounts of really good quality fat in your diet are crucial for everything, for the brain, for the cholesterol, for the heart. So there's just goes to show you another article, another research study confirming the fact that omega-3 fats are extremely crucial for the body, Deb.
Well, they are. I mean, the thing about the omega-3s are that they just are, they help keep the blood thin. They help make it more like water than like honey. And so what ends up happening is it pumps more efficiently. It makes it so it's got, like, for choice of a better term, WD-40 in the arteries, which makes it slide around a lot easier, which prevents the friction, which prevents the inflammation, which prevents the atherosclerotic plaquing. And also it massively increases brain function and neuroplasticity, which is the ability of the brain to replace cells in the brain. We have been taught for decades, I learned this back in the 70s and 80s, that there was no such thing as central nervous system regeneration, but now we've found that the brain can regenerate itself, and they've got a whole new field of science called neuroplasticity. If you give the nutrients to your brain, if you have enough magnesium, if you have enough omega-3, if you have enough special nutrients as far as your required essential amounts. Oh, by the way, the G20 protests have turned violent as Trump arrives in Hamburg. This is how this is being spun right now. I'm going to give you the inside scoop on this. The G20 meetings with these G20 countries are always violent. There have been running battles and protesters who fly around the world every single year just to protest at these meetings. And now they're trying to blame this all on Trump, as they are trying to say that they would not allow him to stay in a hotel in Hamburg at the Vier Jahren Zeiten, which is basically the Four Seasons in Hamburg. The problem is his group of people that were booking the show or booking these hotels for him did not book it far enough in advance, because they were probably trying not to give away the presidential schedule for protesters. And so now he's staying at the Senate House there in Hamburg, which is probably a better place for him anyhow for security reasons. But guys, don't think that because this is having this massive protest now with the G20, it's because of Donald Trump. They had massive protests at the G20 when Barack Obama was president. So yep. A lot of my friends are sending me these things. I've got a couple of friends who are Democrats. They're saying, look what Trump's doing. And I said, don't even start this with me. I said, the problem is that these people in Germany right now are primarily wearing masks. We don't even know who they are. They're probably a bunch of immigrants that have come from other countries, you know, from the Middle East and from Africa, that they put masks on, and other groups being funded by George Soros trying to create instability. All they're trying to do is cause friction. That's all this is. It's another one of these things they're trying to do, one of these little false flag things. But guys, these huge protests, good grief, Bilderberger is basically protested every single year. Trump's not going to those. So don't let your Democratic friends, if you have any, I only have a few, tell you that the reason these G20 protests are happening in Germany right now is because of Donald Trump. That's completely and totally nonsense, Austin. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. And there's protests happening all over the place, all types of violent protests and nonsensical protests. And a lot of these guys, as you see with this thing we've seen in the United States now with this anti-FA or whatever these guys really are about, it's funny how these guys always want to wear masks when they run around. Because my whole thing is I'm sitting there going, okay, you feel so strongly about your beliefs and you know for a fact you're so correct and you're so accurate about your ideology that you want to make sure that nobody can see your face. That it makes no sense to me with this. So the only logical sense to me is a lot of these complete and total blithering idiots that are running around throwing things, blowing things up, throwing rocks at police, protesting for whatever reason they want to come up with a reason for. A lot of them are basically paid protesters in a lot of these cases. And we've seen that numerous times now in ads that have popped up in areas and the way we've looked at them before online. A lot of these guys are paid to do what they're doing. That's why they're wearing masks. They don't want to get busted. If you truly believe something, if you're really trying to stand up for your rights, you're not going to step out there with a mask to make sure nobody sees you. You're going to stand proudly about your beliefs and support everyone around you that's there to also support your beliefs. When's the last time you saw a Second Amendment march or a Second Amendment rally and everybody was wearing ski masks and hockey masks and had bandanas over their face? It doesn't happen. The only times people put masks over their face is when they're trying to hide their identity, because they either don't want people to see who they are because of what they're doing, or they're going to be engaging in illicit behavior. They don't, again, want people seeing what they're doing. So a lot of this stuff's total nonsense. Over in China, though, speaking of covering your faces, China now is about to turn into the most surveilled country in the world, totaling now up to 600 million CCTV cameras nationwide and a new advanced facial recognition software. China will be among the first to deploy part of its ever more pervasive high-tech surveillance system. They have a pre-existing centralized image database of citizens, all of whom have a government-issued photo ID by the age of 16, together with billions of more photos found on social networks to which the Chinese government already has access. The article quotes industry research figures according to which China already has 176 million surveillance cameras in public and private hands, and it's forecasted to add another 450 million by the end of 2019, which will bring it around 600 million, around one camera for every three people in China. Also, to the facial recognition software they have being used in China for routine activities now is being gaining entrance to basically workplaces, withdrawing cash from ATMs, unlocking a smartphone. I talked about this a couple months ago. KFC restaurants in Beijing are scanning customers' faces, then making menu suggestions based on their gender and age estimates and what their facial expressions are showing. One popular park in the capital has, listen to this, this is crazy, has deployed it, and they've deployed surveillance facial recognition cameras to fight toilet paper theft and restrooms using facial scanning dispensers that limit each person to 1 2-foot length of toilet paper every 9 minutes. Other existing uses including on a running track to check that people aren't taking shortcuts, at churches and in temples where cameras are deployed in conjunction with facial recognition to keep tabs on exactly who is engaging in these behaviors, also regarding the suspicion to authority. A police cars now with roof-mounted cameras able to scan in all directions at once to identify wanted lawbreakers, they said. They've said that they've tested this up now to 120 kilometers per hour, a 360 scan roof mount camera, meaning it's driving roughly about 60 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour, and it can see in 360 all the way around the car with full operable facial recognition camera. And they have facial recognition drones now that a Chinese company is working on that they're about to release. This is crazy what these guys are turning into over there. I already know they're a police state, but again, this is kind of giving you a foreshadowing of what they're already doing in UK, in Europe, what their really ultimate goal is in the United States, and then what the total overall goal is throughout the entire world. In my opinion, this is like the best dream ever for the globalists to be able to control, monitor, and surveil the entire population at all times so they can keep tabs on everybody and keep full dominance and control over that. But I did not realize that China was that far into a full-blown surveillance state. I knew it was bad, but after reading this article, I was like, wow, that's pretty intense.
It is intense, and it's not going to get any better in China. And no. The pollution there is so bad that the respiratory illnesses and deaths over there from heart disease and cancer are through the roof because it's hard to breathe on certain days. And I was there many years ago, probably 14 years ago, on a cruise ship. We actually picked up a cruise ship at Hong Kong because I always wanted to go over there. And we actually stayed in Hong Kong, and they actually warned us that there were certain times of the day or certain times of the month or certain times of the week or whatever. When the pollution got so bad, they would issue us warnings, and we need to either wear a mask or walk around with a wet washcloth over our face. And then when we got into the other parts of China, like Shanghai, it was much, much worse. So, yeah, it's a big problem over there with pollution and with these recognition cameras. Because remember, this is a communist country. I mean, they don't have a lot of, you know, what they're doing is the government controls a lot of the industry there. And so they allow these slave labor camps to be put into place, kind of like concentration camps that they used in Germany that were funded by the United States and by, they call them concentration camps, they're slave labor camps that were funded by Britain and also by the United States and Germany. I mean, so this whole thing is just a big template of what they want the world to turn into. And by the way, I was thinking about something. Do you remember years ago when we went to that Second Amendment rally? I believe it was over in Brooksville. You and I, you were young. You were probably like 16, 17. And I remember that all these people, we were protesting because it was because of Obama or something Bush was doing. I don't remember. And they had this big rally over there. It was either Dade City or Brooksville, which is like an hour drive from here. And I remember nobody was wearing masks. there were nobody wearing masks, and the news cameras were there. In fact, I actually got in line, if you remember, and I actually let them do an interview for me on me as far as what the Second Amendment meant to me and why we were there protesting what they were trying to do as far as Second Amendment restrictions. Oh, yeah. And I remember, I'll never forget the guy was doing the camp. Remember, I'm not hiding behind a mask. I was sitting there and I was talking, and I remember they were acting like, oh God, we got another one of these guys here, right? But I was, they couldn't say much to me because I was, you know, pretty articulate on camera because I've been doing it for so many years, and they didn't expect it. But of course, my little segment never made the news that night because I looked for it. And quite frankly, I don't think they wanted to hear anything positive on that side from the liberal news media. By the way, Duke is now admitting to data research falsification in doing drug research. They're saying that then House investigators at Duke University believe a former lab tech, now they're blaming it on one guy, which is not true, fabricated data that went to 29 medical research reports. There we go. Lawyers for the university say in their answers to a federal whistleblower sought lawsuit against it, Duke's admission concerned the work of some guy named Kant, and a probe began in 2013 when she was implicated in an otherwise unrelated embezzlement. So what's happening is they were actually changing the research for medical research to get drugs approved. Guys, if you think this is an isolated incident with Duke, you are absolutely dreaming. This goes on all the time. This is what they do. And so this time they got busted because of what somebody turned them in. So guys, when you're seeing that, well, this university studied this drug, and no. They go to these universities, they tell them what they want the research to say, they make up, they basically bogus up the research, they continue to get their grants, so they get these drugs approved. That's why 50% of the drugs that are put on the market within 5 years are either pulled off the market or their warning labels are changed because they were complete and total bogus. The studies that were done proving these things were safe. What do you think, son?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's exactly what they do. I mean, majority of the stuff, and they know what it does. They know the long-term side effects. And now, remember we talked about the other day, they're trying to petition to make it so they do not have to list these side effects on pharmaceutical drug commercials on TV ads anymore. Mm-hmm. They want to basically completely prevent the American population from knowing any of the real true side effects that a lot, if not a huge portion of these pharmaceutical drugs cause in the short and long term. And it's wild, man, to see this happening and to see the blinders be pulled over most of the population. This is why I tell people so many times, I say it over and over again, and a lot of people think I'm redundant, but you always need to try your best to go the natural approach if you're trying to do something simple like lower your blood pressure or your cholesterol or have more energy or fix your blood sugar, fix your thyroid. A lot of times natural supplements that we carry and a healthy diet and exercise can completely turn stuff around, and that's just what it is. Also, too, in another Florida article, this is pretty wild now. A Central Florida tax collector, it says a new policy will allow his employees to openly carry firearms while they work. Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg told the Orlando Sentinel that according to Florida law, he and his employees are considered revenue officers and are exempt from the state's ban on open carrying firearms while performing their duties. What else would save taxpayers money? No government theft or help perhaps lowering the tax rate to the point that people aren't willing to shoot at tax collectors over what obviously amounts to putting a gun to your head of a person and demanding money. But tax collector Joel Greenberg said he is a big believer in the Second Amendment, but writer Gordon Crawford straight calls him out in the Orlando Sentinel. He says if that is truly the case, he would know that this constitutional amendment was put in place to protect the public from government tyranny, not arm the government, making it easier to steal for government officials. The thing I have about this is I'm not a huge proponent of open carry all the time. The only reason why I really want it to be legal is because it's a massive invasion on our Second Amendment right. Being able to carry a firearm, whether it's concealed or open, is your constitutional right. Infringing on any aspect of that is a blatant violation of the Constitution. The problem is with a lot of the liberals and Democrats down here in Florida, they don't want to scare off or offend any all of the vacationers that want to come here all the time and get scared by firearms, because we have a huge percentage of Europe that comes here on a regular basis, especially the UK, to come vacation all the time, and they are deathly scared of firearms, and that's the primary reason why. But allowing these guys that are tax collectors, and the funny part about this is the irony, is now in 2017 that we live in, majority of taxes are paid in by check. If not paid in by check, they're paid digitally online. These guys aren't going around home to home collecting dollars and fives and tens and twenties from people on a tax basis like could have been done 60, 70, 80, 100 years ago. These guys are rarely handling large amounts of cash, and if they do, it's usually in the safe. So for these guys to use this as an excuse to carry firearms while still allowing the Florida Supreme Court to not allow us to carry openly is a blatant violation of our constitutional rights, Dad. I really hope Florida Second Amendment group that we have down here will stand up to this, and we can get this repealed once and for all, because this thing should have been repealed a long time ago. If you want to open carry, you can open carry. I wouldn't do it on a regular basis, but in a lot of instances, if I just didn't care, I wouldn't pull my shirt over it, and I think that's our right as Americans, granted by the Second Amendment, to not have to go to jail if you're open carrying by legally carrying a firearm.
Well, these tax collectors are talking about state revenue collectors as far as sales tax and stuff like that. And the person these guys come into your office and just demand you give them a computer and a place to sit. If they were sitting there with a pistol on them, it'd be kind of like, wow. And so that's what they're doing. It's just open intimidation of the taxpayer. That's all this is. That's all it is. And I mean, I remember, no, I'm not going to talk about that. I've had friends who've been audited by state sales tax before, and they say it's like an absolute nightmare. And it just, you know, and then the guys come in packing a set of double six guns, you're going to be wondering, gosh, who is this guy? I mean, it's more in your face government nonsense. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm going to go ahead and sign off a little bit early today. Austin and I will do the write up today. So, but I want you guys to know I appreciate you. I've got to get some, my voice is a little bit raspy tonight for Hagman, so I got to save it. I appreciate you. I love you. I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I want you to know I appreciate you. I really, really do. And we'll talk to you tonight if you're going to listen to Hagman. If not, we'll talk to you again, or I will talk to you again. Austin's still on the air. I'll be talking to you on Monday. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate it. Should be a good show tonight. It's always fun on the Hagman Show. Another story, brings up Amazon, because these guys are just a gift that keeps on giving. Another article was released basically on how bad the working environment is at Amazon. Multiple people have come forth, and a lot of times people can't do anything because of non-disclosure agreements, but apparently multiple workers have filed several lawsuits over their wages in the past few years now that's been released, which are so low that they're saying some distribution center employees in some locations live in homeless shelters. But that is what it is. If Amazon doesn't want to pay you enough, you can't force them to do it. However, it gets even worse. I said Amazon's harsh work culture has been described by some employees as a soul-crushing experience, I quote, where workers are urged to tear each other's ideas apart in meetings and are berated via texts at all hours of the night for not answering late-night work emails. According to an unflattering profile in the New York Times, the environment at Amazon is cutthroat and employees are encouraged to snitch on one another. Some workers complain of being pushed out of, evaluated unfairly following personal crises, like miscarriages. The workplace is so demanding that a popular saying there is, Amazon is where overachievers go to feel bad about themselves. That's a horrible slogan. A former book marketer for the firm, Bo Olsman, told the Times he saw nearly every person he worked with cry at their desk at least once, and that grown men crying as they left conference rooms was a common sight. The company also came under fire when employees in Pennsylvania warehouse were forced to work in temperatures that exceeded 100 degrees while ambulances literally waited outside to take them if they passed out. They only installed air conditioning in the warehouse after being outed for the practice by a local newspaper and threatened to be sued. Type of corporate environment Whole Food workers might expect when Amazon takes the helm, which is kind of sad. Another reason why I'm just not a huge proponent of Amazon, that and the laundry list of all the other things they're engaged in, as I've talked about numerous times on the show. Also, too, another article which is pretty wild, and I'm not advocating drug usage whatsoever. What I am reporting on is the news, and in Bristol now, over in Europe, they are beginning to set the world's first clinical study in the use of MDMA to treat alcohol addiction. MDMA is basically the active ingredient in what people have called ecstasy in the street drug. The issue is we've seen time and time again, a lot of these drugs, including cannabis and other things, actually have some type of positive properties to them. They just have a habitual usage for being abused. They're saying here researchers now are testing whether a few doses of the drug in conjunction with psychotherapy will help patients overcome addiction more effectively than conventional treatments. The small trial was granted ethical approval a few weeks ago, and the team expects to give the first dose of MDMA within the next month. Ben says that a clinical psychiatrist on the trial and senior research fellow at the Imperial College of London said, "We know that MDMA works really well in helping people who have suffered trauma, and it helps to build empathy. Many of my patients who are alcoholics have suffered from some sort of trauma in the past, and this plays a role in their addiction. They're going to be using 20 patients recruited through the recreational drug and alcohol services in Bristol. They'll be given the drug in capsule form during two supervised treatment sessions. The participants will be heavy drinkers, typically consuming the equivalent of 5 bottles of wine a day, who have relapsed into alcoholism repeatedly after trying other forms of treatment." So this will be something interesting to watch. They're getting apparently fully true 100% 99.999% pure MDMA. It's costing almost 60,000 euros for 12 grams. I don't know who budgeted that, but that seems massively overpriced, but it is what it is. So it'd be interesting to see this clinical trial and see what the outcome of it is. But yeah, it's always interesting to see this kind of stuff, and they got ethical approval for it, which I don't have an issue with in something like this. But guys, thank you. We appreciate everything. Check out the website if you need anything. The Superfood Complete is on sale for over 30% off. Healthmasters.com. We appreciate all the emails. Thank you for all the time you guys spend with us on the show. We love doing it with you. Thank you for all the emails you send us and all the support. It's really great to know we have a huge, basically, family of customers that are here with us on a regular basis, and we can help support them and help you guys out in every way. So if you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. And Dad will be on the Hagman Show tonight, it looks like, for pretty much the whole time. So it should be a pretty exciting show, as always. Always has a lots of great info on it, lots of good stuff on there. And also be sure to check out the website, healthmasters.com, when you get a chance to see the other products of the week that you can vote on, and vote on those, which one you want to win next week. So we love hearing from you guys, and that way it keeps you guys active in it. But guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for the support. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.